This is Leon Quay-Chevette, author of the novel We Made Plans and host of your favorite podcast, Sounding the Alarm. Be safe, be vigilant, be prepared. Today's podcast is a continuation from last week. My guest speaker, Mary Walburn Pearson, is someone who actually survived an active shooter event where 12 people were killed and several others injured. She was an employee at the DC Navy Yard where an active shooter decided that day, September 16th, 2013, was the day he was going to destroy lives and wreak havoc on others. But my guest speaker, like many others that day, survived. She is a survivor, and she has been sharing her incredible story with us. If you missed last week's podcast, go back and listen to it. But for now, we're going to hop right back in where Mary Pearson left off. Please listen in. So you and your coworker quickly turned around and headed out of the stairwell to a different location. And you said that the police signaled for you. So at that point, you were definitely aware that there was a gunman because you had heard the shots and you were just pretty much trying to get out and to get to a safe spot.
Yeah. And if I said policeman, I should have said security guard. I really believe it was a security guard from inside our building.
Oh, okay. Okay. So the police hadn't arrived by that time?
No, correct.
Oh, okay. All right. And so after the event happened and you saw the gunman, were you aware of who he was? Did you know him at all?
No, I had never met him or that I know of ever seen him before.
Okay. All right. And did your office conduct any webinars or drills on active shooter response training before this happened?
No, we never had any training on active shooting.
So you were totally unaware of what to do. Everything was a shock to you.
Yes, for me personally, I had no idea what to do other than to follow the procedures that we learned for a fire drill. And mm-hmm. if I could add about the fire drill, our fire drill policy has an alternative exit if that exit is blocked, but we mm-hmm. never practiced that. So in the event that I went out to the stairwell, our primary exit, I didn't know where to go for the alternate exit. Mm-hmm. Some of the people ran to a different exit stairwell, and when they got to the bottom, there was a locked fence, so they couldn't get out and away from the building. And there was a big panic. I heard some people threw coats over top of the barbed wire fence and climbed over it, but many of them got stuck in that penned-in wow. fenced area and couldn't get out. So,
wow. Were any of those people shot and killed or shot and injured in that area?
I don't know. I just had heard, and that's kind of what I had heard, was that there were people mm-hmm. stuck
right.
there. But I don't think there was shooting that occurred there. It was just more of a panic situation
right.
because they felt trapped and they couldn't
yeah,
get out.
Yeah, and they were, technically. They were trapped. Right, okay. So they have barbed wire fence across the top so that people can't pretty much get in. They wouldn't expect someone who works there to try to get out that way anyway. So they had the barbed wire across the top of the yeah. fence, you were saying, correct?
And actually, I shouldn't say that. I know it's like wiry at the top. I'm not sure if they had lines of that wire like they do on a jail, but it was mm-hmm. a wiry, you know, like the top of the fencing that you had to. So I don't think there was like lines across, but there was a wire at the top of the fence that they had to put a coat over so they didn't cut themselves as they climbed over it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I don't know that I wasn't at that exit, but that's what I was told.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you also mentioned, first of all, I just want to add that I watched the video where you discussed what happened to you that day. And in that video, you mentioned that you didn't have your cell phone and that you couldn't remember the numbers in your phone to make the call. So I'm just curious, like, would you have a recommendation to people in general about being prepared with important numbers?
Yes, that was definitely one of the lessons I learned, that I wrote out a list of important phone numbers and important information, and I put it on the back side of my ID badge. And I also have a copy in my purse so that if something like that ever happened again, I'd have those important numbers and important information, because I realized that your mind just kind of shuts down.
Right. Okay. All right. So we're going to take another quick break, and then we're going to come back to discuss a few more things. So to our listeners, please sit tight. We will be back shortly. Hello, I'm Leonque Chevette, publisher, corporate trainer, speaker, and author of We Made Plans, a fictional novel which debuted as number 3 on Amazon's Hot New Releases. This amazing story chronicles the lives of a group of longtime friends who were in the midst of living their best lives when they experienced a devastating, trajectory-altering event. Hashtag the event. If you want to purchase my book, and you will, it can be found on Amazon.com and my website at www.leonquechevette.com. That's LeonqueChevette.com. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome to the new Entrepreneurs Elevation Lounge podcast series, where 4 unbossed boss diva entrepreneurs aspire to inspire new and budding entrepreneurs. All are welcome here at the lounge, where we will always have a positive and encouraging word to share. So grab your beverage of choice, your notebook, and turn your radio or laptop up and get ready to join Annette, Kelly, Shankara, and Titania on Wednesday evenings at 7:30 p.m. This is a new series with a mission to help entrepreneurs discover their truth. See you there in the lounge at 7:30 p.m. on Hump Day Wednesdays. We'll see you then.
Okay, we are back with our guest speaker, Mary Pearson. Again, she is a survivor of a real active shooter event on September 16th, 2013. And she is a retired federal government employee and, again, a survivor. So we're going to start just to get some more information and background on the coworker that you mentioned. You said that you had a disagreement with this coworker, which I'm assuming it happened a couple of years or a significant time prior to the actual event on that September 16th, and that you two repaired your relationship. So can you just discuss the importance of, one, checking in on people after a traumatic event, and two, the importance of making sure that your house and relationships are always in order, because you mentioned that earlier.
Yes. I said at that turning point when you started, the reality, it just slowly seeps into what could have been. Most importantly to me is that it could have been my last day, and I wouldn't have had an opportunity to do things like what occurred the very next day, which is my coworker calling me and just following up to make sure that I was okay. It didn't occur to me to do the same to her, but what an impact it had on me personally. And it just allowed me to forgive her for the disagreement we had. And it made me look at all the other relationships I had. And I really, stepping forward, I really do try to remember the importance of every relationship, and that you never know when you're not going to have a chance to mend a broken relationship. So I hope something that comes out of this interview today will be people to consider if there's any broken relationships that you have, that you reach out and put the olive branch out to try to mend that relationship.
Mm-hmm. That is definitely something important. For the video that you did that I watched from the Toastmasters contest or competition that you were in, the end of the video, you mentioned, repairing relationships and what you just said just here in the podcast. But what really stuck with me was, how it could have been you know, me in that situation, because at the end of your video, you say, anyone whose name starts with L through R, or if you sit in the top row. And so, you know, even if I wasn't in the top row, my name is Leonque, it starts with an L. And you said that today was your last day. And that was extremely powerful to me because, you know, at the moment that you said it, I think I was watching it probably overnight. But at the moment you said it, I was like, oh, wow. You know, all the things you think about that you have to do that you didn't do, you know, it just, your statement was really powerful and made me think. And so I was just like, wow. So I just wanted to share that with you. You did have the opportunity to read my book, We Made Plans. And, you know,
before go on to that next question, let me, okay. I didn't answer the other half, which is what you said about reaching out to people. And
oh,
I
yeah,
think
go ahead.
Just after a traumatic event, and that really resonates with me now because we're in a traumatic event with this pandemic that we're all locked down in place. Many of us may be alone. I live alone here. And the importance of reaching out to people during traumatic events or events that could cause some emotional stress, not necessarily a shooting or even a pandemic, just but even something in someone's personal life, how important it is to reach out to people, to let them know they're valued and they're thought about. And I think that's also an important aspect that I wanted to make sure that people remember, that if you haven't talked to someone for a while, take that time now just to take a few minutes and call that person just to check out on them.
No, that's very important. I have some family members who live by themselves, and I have some coworkers who I'm aware live by themselves. And I've tried to actually have phone conversations, not just send text messages, but have a phone conversation where they can hear a voice and, you know, communicate with me, or, you know, just someone. It's important that, especially for those people who are on their own, to that you reach out to them and to make that contact, because right now, like you said, going through this, in particular this pandemic, you know, people are pretty much on a lockdown, a stay-at-home order, and you can't really move about the way you normally would. And so for some people, it affects them differently, and it is more traumatizing. And so although they may not express it, it just doesn't hurt to reach out and say hi and have a conversation and check on them to make sure that they're okay. So I definitely appreciate you. Thank you for going back and making sure that question gets answered, because it's definitely something important that people need to be aware of. So again, thank you for that.
Yeah. And I did have, after the trauma, and I'm sorry, I had meant to finish my statement too, that my supervisors, some coworkers, people called me throughout a very long period of time before we actually got back together to check on me. So I was
good.
Very grateful for that reaching out by my coworkers.
And you said your coworkers and your supervisor?
Both supervisors, my division supervisor and my department supervisor. Yeah, two levels. Supervisors called regularly to check on me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would think that for many people, because you are considered a civilian, I think for many people, that was probably one of the most traumatizing things that had ever happened to them. So it's good that they had the instinct to continue to reach out to you guys to make sure that you were okay. I'm sure they reached out probably to most of the coworkers. As supervisors, they reached out to make sure everyone was okay, right? As far as you know?
Yes, but that they kept doing it, I thought, just as a leadership attribute. I think that's a great characteristic of a good leader. To me, it showed you really cared and valued me that you kept checking in on me, whether they felt it was part of their job or not. I felt like they sincerely were concerned. And, and that to me is very important for a leader to have.
And so just a quick question before we move on to the other part. Were you aware of the 12 people who passed away? Did you know any of those individuals?
Yes, I was I knew three of them because I did work for 2 years in the IT department. And my heart broke when I heard about the names that were, when they finally were read. I stayed glued to the TV that afternoon. And then when they finally released the names, I don't know if this is the point that you want to talk about the reaction when you see the names.
We can jump right into that. Go ahead. I want you to share your experience while it's, in your mind to do so.
Okay. So my feeling was I saw the names, and as I recognized three of the names, my heart broke. There's another part in front of me that they were people that I wasn't real close to. And there was a sense of relief that, thank God, it wasn't, someone in my office or someone that I was really good friends with. And after that, I shut it down. I did not look at the pictures of the people. I just kind of shut down. I couldn't take any more of the trauma of it. So at that point, as soon as I got the names, I stopped listening to the TV, never saw the pictures, never listened to any of the information or on the newspapers. I shut down. But yeah, for those three, I definitely said prayers, and I kept them in my prayers for nightly, just talking about, praying happy that they were in heaven and safe, and their families and those that were mourning them at that time.
Right. Okay. All right. So I just wanted to go over the notes that you shared with me yesterday. In prepping for the podcast, you read the book, We Made Plans, and you wrote notes as you read through it because of your experience. And so you were just jotting down notes in reference to certain chapters, primarily the parts where the active shooter event unfolds and the post shooting chapters that are in the book. So there are scenes where each one of the characters involved realize what they've just gone through, and they each respond differently. And I think your response was probably closest to the main character, Raquel's experience, in that you broke down crying upon the realization that you were involved in an active shooter event when you finally went to the store to pay your water bill. So can you just take a look at your notes, and we can just go through that, and you can just, just discuss what we discussed yesterday.
Sure. As Rachel began to recover, she started thinking about, wow, today's the day before Christmas. We'd be making cookies, we'd be wrapping presents, and I was supposed to be going back to the mall to get Mo's presents. It's like your mind wants to return to the normalcy of what should be happening. And I really related to Rachel because I felt like my mind did the same thing. From the beginning, I kept saying that I wanted to be back to normal. I told you about my ride home. I kept looking around how normal everything was, and my brain said, oh, you got to pay your water bill, and kind of want to get back to normal life the next day. I remember waking up like, wow, I should be on my way to work today, and I didn't know what to do. I think your brain, at least for me, and I've heard it from other people too, you want to return to a normal life, almost put that side like it didn't happen. Maybe your mind's not able to take it all in, so our minds try to get us back to a normal state that we can cope with what occurred. And so I saw throughout the book many instances where they kept trying to get back to normal.
And you mentioned that in one of the chapters you mentioned the numbness associated with one of the characters who was only wearing a short sleeve t-shirt under the hoodie. And I think it was where I wrote, the snow earlier than anticipated began to fall more steadily, and the character didn't feel the cold or the snow. And when we spoke yesterday, you mentioned the numbness and how you felt in mid-September. So can you just elaborate on that?
Sure. And I think this is where I want to add what a powerful book I thought this was. I was so drawn into it. I couldn't put it down. And what I was thinking as I read through it, I really was paralleling what was happening with these characters as to what happened to me. And there were just so many similarities that it's kind of reliving my event through those characters.
Wow.
And this particular aspect you're talking about, I had never thought about that exact moment, like how I was feeling physically, other than I remembered standing in that open field. But I remember being numb. And when I read about, like you said, that it was the setting of the book was very cold. It was about 30 degrees out there, and they only had a very small jacket. But they were numb. They didn't feel the numbness, and not to give away the aspect of the book, I don't want to say, but there was one of the things that had no feeling. They weren't feeling anything, pain, hot, cold. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking about that's exactly how I felt. There was no, I don't remember being hot or cold, but it was September 16th at about 8:30 in the morning. So it was probably pretty chilly, but I don't remember a thing about being hot, cold. So I think the body physically, for me, just shut down. And I remembered when I was hearing the audio of the commander saying, there's a shooter, find a place to hide. It was like being in a slow motion movie. It's like you're looking around, but my feet didn't move. I just felt like everything moved in slow motion.
Right.
So that's that I related to with your book and what happened to me.
Right. Well, and thank you for the compliment. I really appreciate that. I mean, I didn't interview any active shooter event survivors. When I wrote the book, I wrote it primarily based on my own imagination and the training that I do in my place of work. But to hear you say how powerful it was and how you could relate and being a real victim, you know, that takes it to another level. And I appreciate the compliment. Unfortunately for you, it was a situation that was extremely real, and thankfully you got out of it. So, but I do thank you for the compliment. And so what we're going to do is just take another quick break. And when we come back, we will continue with Mary Pearson, who is a survivor of the DC Navy Yard shooting that occurred on September 16th, 2013. So sit tight and stay tuned, guys.
If you're not well in your body, if you're losing focus, and if you're not fulfilled, Upfront Mind, Body, and Soul is here to aid you in giving you tips. A healthy mind will keep you focused. A healthy body will keep you well and active. A healthy soul will keep you fulfilled and content. Contact Coach Michelle at her website, IM2Inspire.com.
Okay, welcome back, guys. We are listening, or you are listening, to the incredible story of Mary Pearson, who is a survivor of a real active shooter event that occurred at the DC Navy Yard on September 16th, 2013. She was an employee at Building 197 at the Navy Yard on that day, and she has been discussing, again, her incredible story and sharing with us. And I am letting Ms. Pearson just go ahead and discuss everything she wants to discuss. So Mary, I'm just going to again let you take over, and thank you so much. So go ahead.
Okay, thank you again. So I was talking about the kindness of people after the event, but as time goes by, people return to normal and you're not hearing it on the news anymore. It seems to be forgotten, except for those survivors that are left behind or the families of those that perished. And that was mentioned in the book, and that resonated with me. And I wanted to say for us at the Navy Yard, they really did make a point to remember those that were, hurt or killed. And we every year we have a Remembrance Day on September 16th, and we do a walk around the base, and we have a ceremony, and we always invite the families mm-hmm. of those that were killed, and we honor them. And on the first floor of the building, when it was redone, they took out what was the main entrance, and they made it a memorial. And it's a beautiful mm-hmm. area with a fountain going down the wall, and it's got a plaque with the names of each of the victims, and a plaque out front that talked about the courage and, you know, the kind of thing. It's a really nice one. It's right near the elevators that I took every day to and from work. I'd go by there and I'd look over, but it took me about 5 years before mm-hmm. I finally could walk into that memorial. And I sat down, and it's got a place you wow. can sit. And I said some prayers for those that passed and those that had been dealing with the events from that day that were either injured or just emotionally traumatized in the families. And it became, periodically I'd go and just do that. There was never mm-hmm. some certain day, like today's the day I'm going to go into that memorial. I can't explain why that day became that one day, but it took about 5 years for me to
wow.
to get to that point that I could face it. And so mm-hmm. that kind of goes on with how I dealt with it personally. Some mm-hmm. people talked about it. They had psychologists and things there to help people through it. My way to deal with it, and it's not a healthy way, I don't think, but I just shoved it down. When people asked about it, I said, I don't want to talk about it. They respected that. So people didn't talk mm-hmm. to me about it, and I didn't talk to anybody else.
Right.
I said earlier, I didn't look at pictures. I didn't read news articles or anything for years. And then slowly I started starting to open up. I knew in me was a speech that I needed to give about my story. Mm-hmm. And I'm in a group called Toastmasters. It's an international organization that helps promote communication and leadership skills, and you practice by doing. And I knew this speech was in me to give, but it took 7 years for me to finally be ready to talk about it. And mm-hmm. that prompted me giving this speech that I called "If Today Were Your Last Day," that you indicated you'd seen mm-hmm. the video of that speech. And I actually used it right. for a competition. And from that, there was a lot of aspects that I said that from that event, I made some major changes in my life to have a more fulfilling life. And I'm now better prepared. My kids are now adults, but I made preparations if something happened to me after that event.
Mm-hmm.
But it, like I said, it took me 7 years to really start talking about it. And this podcast is another aspect that I'm starting to open up. And it's starting to be healing. It's taken me a while. Someone told me That's after great. They heard my first speech, they were in the audience, and they said, I'm a nurse at a hospital, and I have dealt with many of your coworkers. You have many of the symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. I'm like, what? I always thought that was people that come out of wars, or, you know, I didn't right. associate myself with that. But I'm starting mm-hmm. to see little by little. So I think it took me a long time to be able to open up. And it really has started to help me heal on things right. that I didn't even realize I had,
mm-hmm.
you know, that I had had that. So I hope people don't take 7 years to get to that point. Right. But I see now that by not talking about it, I didn't deal with the after effects that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And just today I was talking to a coworker that was in another building. We're mm-hmm. good friends, and we've never talked about this for 7 years. I talked to her today, and she was telling me what happened to her in another building on the Navy Yard. I had no idea of the stories. So it's opening up wow. to me and allowing me to talk better about. So I thank you again for giving me this opportunity to mm-hmm. share my story and to relate. Your book kind of helped me start talking about how I about that day and how I reacted to it. So thank you again for that opportunity.
Well, thank you. I appreciate all the compliments, and I know that it takes that people handle things differently, and it takes, you know, some people longer to make adjustments. And I know that you probably recognize that with a couple of the characters in my book, that some of them took a little bit longer to adjust. And it's okay that it took you the 7 years that it did to finally get to a point where you felt like talking about it. Again, it's important for people to continue to communicate and check in on their family and friends who have been involved in something like this. Not just ones who were direct victims of the gunshots, but this is a traumatizing situation that affects everyone involved. You came very close to seeing that gunman that day in the stairwell. And, you know, the fact that I think you were probably in a little bit of shock, but I'm not an expert on that. But you don't really recall how you got to the metro and then to, I guess, I can't remember if you said home when you said that you called for your mom for a ride. I don't think you were home, but you called for your mom for a ride. So, and then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, I need to pay the water bill. Like, so I think there may have been just a little bit of shock. And then all of a sudden that realization that hit you when you started crying, when you were at the, you know, paying the bill and the guy or the person said, you know, how are you doing today? Just those simple words like that. So I am glad that you did the speech and the video with Toastmasters, and I thank you for sharing that with me. I really appreciate, you know, everything that you've said. I appreciate the way you've shared your story, and I'm glad that you are going through a healing process now. And I'm definitely glad that the podcast was able, and the book were both, you know, triggers in helping you to continue to heal and to open up. And I mean, your story is amazing. It's incredible. And I definitely appreciate it. So I just want to say again, thank you, Mary Pearson. Thank you for joining me and for being a guest speaker on my podcast. And so the person that connected us is Pamela Burkett Jones. And I thank Pamela for connecting us. She's another podcast host with the Elite Conversations podcast community. And she is also a part of your Toastmasters organization. Her podcast is called Taking the Lead, and it airs on Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. So again, thanks to both of you. I really appreciated the opportunity to interview you, and I want you to continue to be safe and heal and to share your story in your own way. So thank you, Mary.
It was my pleasure. It was an honor. Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Yep. Okay, so for me, this is the culmination of season one of my podcast, Sounding the Alarm. Be safe, be vigilant, be prepared. I am fascinated by the stories of survival, and I am hard-pressed to encourage people to make plans to prepare. Although with the social distancing demands associated with the coronavirus right now or the COVID-19 outbreak, active shooter events aren't really on the forefront of people's minds. And honestly, if we don't ever have another one, I would be forever grateful for that. It's the last thing that anyone would volunteer to be a part of. I mean, just from listening to Mary's incredible story, you know how traumatic it can be for an individual involved on so many different levels. What I've tried to do is effectively present to our listeners the many ways to prepare for an active shooter event or any event where self-defense would be required and where survival mode is required. I've had guest speakers on to discuss gun ownership and the right weapon for you, unconventional self-defense, the foundation of raising children who will never decide that it's best to kill several dozen people on one of my podcasts, the significant role of EMTs and how you can help until help arrives, and the responsibility to report suspicious behavior and statements, whether you're at work, school, or home. And I've done two episodes on protecting ourselves in our houses of worship, and finally finishing or culminating this with a real active shooter event survivor. And I want everyone to be prepared and to give yourself and to give yourself and those you love a chance to get out and get away and survive an active shooter event.
Mary pointed out that she is a single mom and she had two young kids at the time. And whatever your status is, everyone wants to survive. Everyone wants to get back home. Everyone wants to get to those plans that they made. And so I wrote the book, We Made Plans, with that in mind. I wanted it to be more than just a story about good friends and loved ones and a love story. I wanted it to educate you on how to respond without putting a PowerPoint in front of your face for an hour. And I hope that my novel and the 12 episodes of this podcast have helped you become better prepared. And if so, let me know by reaching out to me on my social media platforms. They all have a variation of the words Leonkwe Chivette, author. Make sure you get author in there so that you can get to me. But again, my name is spelled LeonkweChavette. To all of my season one guests, including Mary, I thank you because I couldn't do any of this without you. So thank you so much for being guests on the podcast that we've done for this season one. And I thank my EC Life Talk Radio producers, and I thank them for their patience and my demands, because if you haven't noticed, you might be able to tell I'm a little demanding. But I thank them for giving me a chance to do this and for the production that they've done. And as a special treat to my listeners for being loyal, if you haven't already, you can pick up a paperback copy of my debut novel for the sale price of $11.97. All you have to do is go to Amazon.com and type in We Made Plans or Leonkwe Chivette. It's a limited time offer, so please check it out soon. And book signings will resume as soon as it's safe to do so. This entire season one has it's been a little bit clouded by the coronavirus COVID-19 outbreak and stay-at-home orders. And so we obviously had to pause the book signings, but they will resume as soon as it's safe to do so. But please check me out when I make my way to your area. And remember, if you want to get on my email list, please visit my website. Again, it's www.leonkwechivette.com. And you can also go there and sign up for the email list. So lastly, I just want to tell you guys, I pray for your health and safety and well-being on so many levels. And I thank you so much for taking this journey with me. Until we meet again next season with more great guests and topics, please remember that most importantly, we make plans every day. And to see those plans through, we all, with regard to our personal safety, need to be safe, be vigilant, be prepared, and be blessed. Love you all. Thank you.